You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm a credentialed writer covering the NBA for the Step Back and FanRag Sports. And I write for the Miami Heat's Tip-Off magazine. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at WC Goldberg.
And I'm David Ramil, a credentialed NBA writer who's covered the Heat for SB Nation and allyoucanheat.com. I cover the NBA at large for FanSided and FanRag Sports. And you can follow me and my writing on Twitter at DRamil13. Today's show is sponsored by MyBookie, your hookup for all of your betting needs. Go to mybookie.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDONNBA to get a bonus on top of your first deposit.
We'll get to some of your Twitter comments from last night's game and go over our spotlight players later on. But we talked yesterday about our concern with the Heat staying big against the Pistons. And even though they started with Hassan Whiteside and Kelly Olynyk in the front court, they ended up pretty quickly going to a smaller lineup with James Johnson coming in for Whiteside after about 5 minutes. At that point, the Heat were down 14-9, but then went on an 8-1 run, and that's really when the game changed. The Heat didn't go back to the Whiteside-Olynyk front court again, other than to start that second half. Spo did play Bam Adebayo with Olynyk, but he seems to like that pairing a little bit more. But mostly, they remained small and won 111-104 against the Pistons. The Heat are now three games over 500. They're in seventh place in the East, and they're just a half game out of fifth place in the East. David, I thought the Whiteside-Olynyk played well enough together, and they're going to get better as Whiteside gets healthier. But what struck me is how the Heat have options. They have the option to go small or to just go huge with Whiteside and Olynyk. And Spoelstra picked the best option in last night's win.
Yeah, without a doubt. We do have to mention that, obviously, against the Pistons, they were without Andre Drummond, and they trotted out Boban Marjanovic early on. He started the game, and that created some interesting matchup issues for both Olynyk and Whiteside. Whiteside in particular, like I said, he picked up two fouls early on in the game, and that's when he went to the bench early in the first quarter there. Had a problem just really matching up with the length and overall size of Marjanovic, who seemed like he was feasting at the rim. Like, you could just lob it in anywhere near him, and he was able to finish over Whiteside, despite Whiteside's much better athleticism. But you're absolutely right that there's a versatility and a number of options that Spoelstra can go to with the front court there. You can go super small. I mean, we still haven't seen James Johnson at point center, mostly because you don't need to with Olynyk being able to bring the ball up court. Olynyk has that kind of spacing that you might want. And we're seeing an improved version of Hassan Whiteside in the new year so far. Ever since he's come back from injury, he seems to be a little bit more willing to share the ball, and that kind of opens the game up for everybody, I think. And to have those number of options makes Miami an increasingly dangerous team in the Eastern Conference.
You're right about the fact that we haven't seen James Johnson at center, but it really is because Kelly Olynyk is so effective at center. I mean, he's a true 7-footer, but he allows you to play in the same way that a team would play if they had gone small. Right. And the Pistons, of course, they were without Drummond, but they did end up going small a little bit. Eric Moreland isn't the biggest guy in the NBA, so he played some center a little bit, but they would go smaller even still with Anthony Tolliver at center at some points in that game. And Olynyk is able to just go in there and still do those guard things that he does and play along the perimeter with that dribble handoff game and get guys involved. It kind of allows Miami to play small ball, but while also maintaining some size with Olynyk in there at center. And when you have him and you have James Johnson playing power forward, those are two really versatile guys to have in that front court. And when we talk about going small and small ball as a trend in the NBA in general, really the teams that are going to do it the best are the teams that can quote unquote go small while still staying big. Right. And the Heat have two guys that kind of allow – they have three guys, really, once Justice Winslow gets healthy, that allows them to do that. Maybe we'll see more James Johnson at center just if Spo just wants to experiment a little bit when Winslow comes back and can kind of play that stretch four role where James Johnson's filling in right now. Mm-hmm. But, again, it's one more option that Spoelstra will have. And I really like what he was able to do in last night's game. Now, granted – Whiteside did get into early foul trouble, like you said. He only played 17 minutes in the game, and that's not going to be the norm. But It could. It is an option. Like, he, Whiteside won't always just play 17 minutes. I thought he played better than I think a lot of people gave him credit for. You know, he did get beat by Boban pretty badly, but in general, I thought the Whiteside-Olynyk thing worked offensively pretty well. Yeah. Olynyk got Whiteside on a lob early in the game. That was pretty nice. There seems to be enough skill sets. The size doesn't quite work defensively, or at least just the speed doesn't quite work defensively, but on offense, they have enough skills that complement each other that it sort of works. So yeah. I'm interested to keep watching that. But basically, the two big lineup was really neutral for, I thought, the game. Like, it was kind of just a neutral lineup for Miami. And what got them the win was when they went small, you know?
Right, right. The small ball, it's kind of a misnomer because it's not necessarily about height or size. It's more about showcasing versatility. Mm-hmm. It just so happens that historically that versatility has come from guys 6'9 or shorter, and that's why it's quote-unquote small ball. And that's still the case in a lot of different lineups. You look at Golden State with generously listed 6'8" Draymond Green running the small ball center position. You know, obviously he's probably shorter than that, and he has that kind of versatility to show to showcase different skills and to maximize everybody else's ability on the court. That's why, because of his passing, et cetera. But, you know, Olynyk at 7 feet plays small, but he also plays, you know, versatile, and he can, you know, get different guys going. He knows how to feed the ball to everybody. Look, I mean, look at Miami historically. You know, they had Chris Bosh playing the small ball center at that particular time, just, you know, 6-5 years ago. And he was, you know, legitimately 6'10 or 6'11. And so it wasn't necessarily about small, but he had the versatility and athleticism to play a number of different positions and to guard a number of different positions. So that was the thing there. But I am becoming increasingly enamored of Kelly Olynyk's game. He had a game high 25 points yesterday. He just looked absolutely dominant, you know, and I liked how Tony Fiorentino pointed out that the Heat coaching staff has been working on getting Olynyk to be much more aggressive, because apparently that's just something that might not be part of his either mental makeup or his game, the way that he's been, you know, playing throughout his career. He seems like he's much more comfortable embracing a role, and sometimes it's hard for guys to kind of change, you know, have that paradigm shift to realize, you know what, this team needs me to score X number of points per game. I need to be able to do more. But it looks like maybe that Boston Celtics game that you and I had talked about at that point in time, maybe that might be the kind of the spark that this team needed. And then for Olynyk, and then in order to be able to embrace that aggressive side to his game and become much more effective. Because look, he went 11 of 15, 3 of 5 from 3-point range, finished with 13 rebounds.
And Spo after the game said he wants Olynyk to shoot like Wayne Ellington does from 3-point range. And we saw how Wayne Ellington, when he was really empowered to take as many threes as possible. I mean, he's been, it seems like every game he's taking 10 3-pointers, right?
Yeah.
And Spo said he was serious about Olynyk wanting Olynyk to take 10 3-pointers a game. I mean, could you imagine if he goes 3 of 5 from 3-point range last night? What if he was 6 of 10? That would be insane. And that would just open up Miami's offense so much more. I mean, you mentioned the Chris Bosh thing earlier, what he was able to do for Miami. The similarities are becoming very similar. You know, I'm not saying Olynyk, and we don't want to make that comparison, it's unfair, but just the comparisons and the way the offense looks when he's in there at center, it's very similar. It's very, very similar. We're going to get to some of your Twitter comments from last night's game and go over our spotlight players later on. But first, the college football championship game is Monday, and it's time to get in on the action with MyBookie. Are you sick and tired of getting the runaround when you ask for payouts? Sign up at mybookie.ag today and get paid fast when you win. MyBookie is your hookup for all of your betting needs. You can even deposit using Bitcoin. Where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on. And if you want to make money betting the bowl games, you got to go to mybookie.ag. They're one of the most trustworthy sites out there, but you don't have to take my word for it. Check them out for yourself. They have odds on every matchup as well as in-game live betting on all of this season's NFL and bowl games. Join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit with up to a 50% bonus. Use the promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate the offer. So visit mybookie.ag today. Use the promo code LOCKEDONNBA. You play, you win, you get paid. Okay, let's get to some of these Twitter comments. First one comes from Jeff, who tweets in, Hassan's first 454 minutes this season, 6 assists. Hassan's last 32 minutes this season, 6 assists. Cautious optimism. What do you think, David? I mean, he did have he had a couple of nice assists in the first quarter before he came out after foul trouble. Yeah. I am cautiously optimistic. I'm there.
I agree. Like that pass he made to a cutting Goran Dragic from the high post, that was legitimately a very good pass. Like that wasn't it wasn't necessarily a wraparound pass in traffic or anything like that. But you know, you made the comparison to Shaquille O'Neal being able to pass out of the low post in our most recent mailbag. And that's reminiscent of that. You know, he was able to find a cutter and hit him fluidly in stride. And that's the whole thing. It's like, it's not just about making that pass. If it's behind him or if it's ahead of him, it leads to a certain turnover or potentially an injury. So to hit him in stride as he's cutting towards the hoop was a really, really, really nice display there. And certainly not what we've seen from him in the past. And I think that's the whole case. It's like, you know, I hate to keep going about this, but as long as there are going to be strong defenders of Hassan Whiteside, we have to be able to explain ourselves. It's not that we have a problem with Hassan necessarily. It's that he hasn't shown these things. And for whatever reason, whether it's the foul trouble, whether it was the time off, whether it was Spoelstra or Udonis or Alonzo Mourning or somebody else harping on you know, just letting him know he needed to embrace a smaller, more efficient and versatile role. And that's something that he wasn't willing to do in his first appearances throughout the season. Now he's going out there, he's providing solid screens, having some really nice screen assists, as they keep pointing out during the broadcast. He's making some nice, crisp passes. Look, in 17 minutes, he still finished with an efficient 10 points on 5 of 8 shooting. But he also pulled down the 4 boards. He also had the 2 assists, 1 steal and 1 block. So an overall very solid game. Sure, it might have been limited by foul trouble, but he did what was necessary in order for the team to win and to help other teammates to get their points as well. And I really liked one particular – I can't remember at what stretch it was. I think when Olynyk hit maybe a 3-pointer late in the third quarter in the fourth, I can't recall exactly when, he was coming towards the bench. Whiteside was on the bench, and he seemed – you know, absolutely overjoyed to see Olynyk coming back, and he gave him high fives, jumped towards him, etc. It was the kind of display from him that I don't think we've seen necessarily. Like the kind of guy who's supportive of teammates, willing to let them get theirs and at the cost of his. And I think that's what we're expecting more out of him throughout the season.
You know, he also had, and I've questioned Whiteside's just passing ability, you know, sure. And last night's game really kind of got me a good look at what Whiteside could do.
Right.
You know, you mentioned that really great pass to Goran Dragic to find a cutting Goran Dragic. I mean, it was just a well-timed pass, like you said. He also had, and this was to me, the ultimate display of what Whiteside could do possibly. I mean, if he could always do this, was when he was involved in a pick and roll with Dragic. Dragic hit him on the roll. Whiteside took a couple of steps towards the basket and then found Kelly Olynyk while on the roll, found Kelly Olynyk beyond the 3-point line for an open 3-pointer that Olynyk knocked down. It was a perfect, I mean, it's the sort of thing that the Warriors do with Draymond Green. You know what I mean? When they roll him to the basket, it's the sort of thing that Dwight Howard was doing in Orlando. That's
I'm looking at it right now, that one particular play. And this was, look, this is what we talked about. He's going up against Boban, who's 7 foot, you know, a million. Tobias Harris is cutting him across the arm. He's leaping directly into Avery Bradley. And he didn't take the shot, which is what he would have done 99 times out of the previous 100. In this one case, he finds a wide open Olynyk there from the wing. It's perfect. You're absolutely right. It was a really, really smart play from Whiteside, but one we haven't seen regularly. And that's what makes
I almost fell off the couch, David, when that happened. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I went back and watched it a couple of times just to. And the thing is, you mentioned, he's going against 7 foot 1 billion Boban Marjanovic, and he's got Tobias Harris right there against him, who's not a small dude. Might have one of the biggest heads in the NBA. And Hassan Whiteside, because of his size, still is able to make that pass. There's only maybe a couple of guys on the Heat's roster that has the ability to make that pass just because of the trees that he was surrounded by. You know what I mean? And he was able to do it. So, look, cautious optimism, right? Whiteside talked about maybe wanting to take more of a playmaking role. He is starting to do it. We've talked about this before. He's done this with setting screens in the past, for example, when he is out, when he is injured, and he sees what the other guys in his place are doing. this happens to be what the guys in his place was doing. In this instance, Olynyk and Bam Adebayo were being playmakers. Hassan was not ever a playmaker. Maybe he's learned from example. Cautious optimism. It's worth Absolutely. It. Our next one, Renee tweets in, gotta find more time for Bam, though. So Bam Adebayo, he played just 10 minutes against the Pistons. He only played 15 minutes in the game before that after regularly seeing 25-plus minutes when Whiteside was hurt. So, look, I mean, this makes sense, right? Whiteside gets hurt. Whiteside only played in 17 minutes in this game. So the 10 minutes for Bam might even be a little high, even though I thought Jordan Mickey got a little bit more run than was necessary.
Yeah.
I don't know if we do need to find more time for Bam, though. I think if we can get him at 10 to 15 minutes a game, I think that's fine for a rookie. I love Bam Adebayo, what he's bringing to the team when he's in there. But if Olynyk is playing this way and Whiteside is playing this way, I don't see a reason to play Bam more than 10 minutes a game. That's fine for a rookie. What do you think?
I agree. To be honest with you, I think we saw yesterday that he can make an impact without necessarily doing so offensively. And I think he might wind up playing a similar role to what we saw out of Justice Winslow his rookie year, where he's just basically coming in there for spot minutes off the bench as a really strong defensive presence. Because like he did a really good job, you know, fronting Marjanovic there and breaking up a pass, despite being, you know, 8 inches shorter than him. Right. You know, he did a really good job. Look, offensively, he struggled. He went 0 of 4, finished with 0 points. But there were still some good moments there. Like he was willing to take that 15-footer. I don't know if you recall that the jumper he took that Eric Reed pointed out only went 14 feet. It was an air ball, but it's progress. Like he's willing to take the shot. And again, Fiorentino pointed out that the coaches are working with him to expand that range. And we'll probably see more and more in that in upcoming seasons. In the first quarter, he had a really, really, really nice up and under move that did not finish with the rim. I forgot. It might have been on Marjanovic or Moreland. I can't remember who he got up in the air. But that was really, really impressive. He completely up-faked his opponent, got past him, and then floated up the shot softly. It did not fall through, but it was still progress. So, you know, I think for him, it's just a matter of being able to find his comfort zone. And then that might be in spot minutes there. Look, as long as we're getting increased versatility from Whiteside, along with the steady defense he's always provided, and as long as we're getting Olynyk to play at this kind of high level and James Johnson is healthy, I think it's okay. And I think, look, we have to look at Adebayo as a rookie who's going to get some minutes here and there sporadically, and that's fine. I mean, we can't put all our eggs in that basket as long as Miami keeps finding ways to get the most out of their other front court players and continues winning.
It's dominoes in the basket, first of all. And second of all, the Bam, I like Bam Adebayo being in there. I know that Spo likes the Bam and Olynyk lineup together. I'd like to see maybe a little bit more of Bam next to James Johnson as James Johnson gets healthy and stays healthy, hopefully. Maybe when Winslow comes back, Bam and Winslow together, just to see what it's like with Bam at center with a 4-out offense. Getting his hyperactivity on the perimeter when he's setting screens and rescreens over and over and over again. It's just putting him with basically 4 perimeter-oriented players. I'd like to see more of that in the future, however that those 10 to 15 minutes per game works out. But overall, yeah, you're right. Like if he's able to just be effective in those 10 minutes, that's fine, because as pleasant as Bam has been this season, he's not winning Miami any games. Olynyk and Whiteside have the potential and the opportunity to really just win Miami some games. Bam is just not at that point yet. So, all right. We're going to get to our spotlight players up next. But first, quick reminder to make sure that you are subscribed to Locked On Heat on iTunes, Google Play and Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcast, and then leave us a review on iTunes. It helps other Heat fans discover the show. Also, be sure to check out the rest of what the Locked On Podcast Network has to offer, including shows for every NBA and NFL team. Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. All right, time for our spotlight players. Who do you got, David?
I've got James Johnson. In his first game back after nursing that ankle injury that kept him out of several games, he went in there, played 24 solid minutes off the bench, finished with 16 points and 6 of 8 shooting, went 3 of 4 from three-point range, had 4 rebounds as well as 1 assist, 1 steal, and just 2 turnovers. So 1 turnover was a little shaky where he just seemed like there was a miscommunication, a mistiming. But overall, I think it was just a really, really, really solid game. And the kind of game that really, to me, showcased how essential he is. Like, he is such a kind of an unheralded player because I think he's just like a perfect size and perfect level of versatility for today's NBA game. He just does so much, and you kind of wind up taking it for granted because of his journeyman-like career. But the fact that he's able to do as much and make the kind of contributions that he did in his first game back, if he's able to make those steadily, he really proves to be one of the best players, I think, not just on the team, but across the league, to be honest with you, because he just can do a lot and do it very, very well. You know, the three-point shooting was particularly spectacular, in my opinion. Like, he was not hesitating at all. He caught a couple on the wing. He caught one in the corner, just rose up without fear, without any hesitation whatsoever, and knocked those down. So you wonder if he was putting up the shots despite the injury that kept him out of playing. And maybe he's found a nice rhythm as far as his jumper is concerned, because it really showed. Like, you know, part of what started off the season for him was, you know, mistiming on passes and then hesitating too much on shots. Last night, it was the exact opposite. I think he was very, very fluid, very much within his zone there, and just looked really, really comfortable. And he adds just a whole other dynamic, a whole other level to this team. You know, like, we're just talking about Adebayo not necessarily increasing Miami's chances of winning. I think James Johnson does that to a huge degree if he's able to be as effective as he was last night.
It's no surprise that the Heat took off last night, and the game really opened up for them when James Johnson came in for Whiteside, and they were able to shift small because James Johnson's also able to guard a lot of different positions defensively. I mean, he was able to go one-on-one, toe-to-toe with Tobias Harris, who's been an excellent scorer this season. No surprise, he was a plus 14 for the game. I'm with you. James Johnson was phenomenal in that game. My spotlight player was Goran Dragic, 24 points, 13 assists, which is almost double what he's been averaging all season. And what stood out to me was the differences in Dragic's game throughout the night. When Whiteside was in there, for example, it was a lot of Dragic-Whiteside pick and roll. You know, we talked a lot going into this show about the dribble handoffs and stuff. That wasn't the case necessarily when Whiteside and Dragic were in there together. It was just a lot of simple 1-5 pick and roll. And it worked really effectively. It was surprisingly effective, more so than we've seen in a very long time between those two. And then once Whiteside would go out, Dragic all of a sudden would initiate the offense into that dribble handoff type action that we've been seeing a lot in recent weeks, getting Kelly Olynyk and James Johnson and all these other Wayne Ellington, getting all those guys involved. And so he was able to kind of switch gears in between offenses, which I think really threw the Pistons for a loop throughout that game. They weren't really sure when it was just going to be basic pick and roll or when it was going to be some more intricate, you know, weak side dribble handoff stuff. And Dragic was the guy just kind of, you know, leading that charge and just kind of getting Miami into whichever offense they decided to be in. And so when he was on the ball, he was really effective. I thought he was finishing at the basket really well. He was kicking out to open shooters, obviously, with those 13 assists. But he was playing really well off the ball when they got into more of their intricate offense, playing off of Kelly Olynyk and Josh Richardson and James Johnson. He was 3 of 5 from three-point range. So just – and plus 12 in the box score. I mean, Dragic, one of his best, maybe his best all-around game of the season.
Yeah. Look, I mean, the whole team in general didn't get a lot of free throws yesterday, just 8 of 11 overall. It wasn't a highly – you know, there weren't a lot of foul calls in the game, but you know, he got to the line for four free throw opportunities there, tied Josh Richardson for the lead. And just like you said, just was so effective in so many different ways. And one of the things that – I feel like it's completely maybe kind of flies under the radar there a little bit, is how much of an opportunity players have when they're missing an extended period of games to kind of get a better understanding of their own teams. Like, you get so caught up in the moment of playing and understanding your nightly matchup and all the different little headaches that come with, like, just your life outside of basketball as a father, a husband, or whatever. So much of that takes up your time, your thinking, and then, of course, your focus on the game, being in the game, that you fail to take that step out and realize what might work better. And you look at the night James Johnson had. You look at the night Hassan Whiteside, the improvements we've seen. You look at Goran Dragic, and like you pointed out, being able to play in different rhythms and being able to play off the ball a little bit more than he had during the first part of the season. I think it comes from that extended, period of games that he missed there, where he's kind of able to get a better understanding for it. And you know what? it bodes well for Deion Waiters. He's missed a bunch of games. Maybe he's capable. He's sitting there on the sideline watching these things, maybe with one of the coaches in his ear kind of explaining, this is what works. This is what helps. This is where you can come and do X differently and kind of get this team to another level. So hopefully we're one Deion Waiters away from taking it to that level that we saw when we went 30-11 last year.
Shout out to Josh Richardson too. 22 points, 5 assists. He guarded Tobias Harris down the stretch there. He's averaging 20 points a game in the last 9 games. Really just awesome. Another just awesome game from Josh Richardson.
Yeah.
Really developing into one of Miami's best players. Thank you to mybookie.ag, your hookup for all of your betting needs. Go to mybookie.ag, use the promo code LOCKEDONNBA to get a bonus on top of your first deposit. We'll be back tomorrow with Free Talk Friday, but for now, that's all we have for today. Thank you for listening and for subscribing. You could send mailbag questions and ask about advertising by sending an email to lockedonheat@gmail.com. Tweet your questions and comments for our recaps using the hashtag AskLOHeat. Music is courtesy of Mojave Wild. Catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.